Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning, please be seated. Name for us off the top of your head, other than Adam and Eve, the person in the Bible born without the benefit of parents. Born without the benefit of mother and father. There's only one. Why? Joshua, son of Nun. So that's what you remember from the sermon, I'm sure. Yeah, I was in the meeting today about their first reading about Eldad and Medad and Joshua and the camp, and then what the Spirit was the attempt of our designers of our lectionary reading of the 3-year cycle of our readings to identify what was the key point in the gospel for Mark we read. And that was just one of five. For some reason, they put a big chunk of Mark's gospel with several different themes going on throughout the course of it. And that would be the one about, you know, certain people are in and they're allowed to be part of our party, to do our things with us, and do great stuff, and those who are outside of our party are to be excluded. That's one good point, but I was going to go to the harder part. You know, your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Because it's kind of a brutal, rather violent imagery, uncharacteristic for Jesus. You know, which is another reason why it's always helpful to not be a fundamentalist about the sacred text. At my ecumenical breakfast, I always look at my fundamentalist brothers and sisters and they say, how did you walk in here? You shouldn't have legs by this point in your life. Not mine either. How are you eating your sandwich? Because, you know, I don't know, maybe they don't sin the way I do. I don't know. So we don't take these things literally, but they are important. What do they possibly mean? And I got to think about this section of the passage, and you know, it's been a difficult one of the hardest sections of the Gospels of this recommendation of Jesus. But I got to be thinking about how it is that we change our lives. How do we repent? How do we come to a better sense of what God calls us to be? And one of the things that God always has to deal with is our problem of denial. Now, I've been in the addiction recovery industry for about 30 years. And there's a saying that the last person to know they're an alcoholic is the alcoholic. The second to last person to know they're alcoholic is the spouse of one. You know? It's because we have this whole idea about ourselves and we can't break through. And it's always a challenge, right? You know, and sometimes the conflict and confrontation needs to be so desperate, so large, to break through that wall that it's confronted. And I think Jesus is using pretty stark language today to help us recognize how hard it is for us to come to a fuller understanding of ourselves, to be completely healed and brought into a new life in Christ in every aspect of our life. So for me, the reading is actually, instead of being brutal and violent, it's really incredibly powerful and hopeful. I remember one time I was with a youngster, a teenager, who was a heroin addict. And I, you know, went to the family's home and there she was, saying something like, well, I'm just holding that needle for my friend. Just so charming, if it weren't so blisteringly unhealthy. And I said, now come out to the front porch. And there's two cars. My car in front and the police car behind me. Which car are you going to get in? You going with me to rehab? You're going to go into jail otherwise. It's your call. Sometimes it takes something blunt like that to get our attention. So that we can break through the wall and realize who we are. Because a lot of times we have decided emotionally and mentally, how things are going to be. And we live out of that assumption, that perception, that wall, and we live into that, and that's what we do. And we go to like me. We literally go to like me. When we see a group of people, we decide who they are already. We no longer see them from the fullness of their humanity. We see them as how they fit into how we want to look at that group of people. You know, I've decided I have a second career happening. It's really exciting. I'm going to be a consultant to financial advisors. It's really fun story. So I put my, I was trying not to kill my job with Jeff Sullivan, who's a good faithful Jew, and he's inviting me for an encore to go on a hike with him and his other friends, and I have to get to that. I compensated for years of not coming by going to Kilimanjaro, but back in May, it was before all this was finalized, I sort of forced him to come to an expensive golf event for our local condo. You know, and so he went along and he said, well, you can do me a favor, I just got a call from a business guy. He can't make my training session. Jeff does a lot of training for the Merrill Lynch folks down in Princeton, where he's sort of a trainer and coach thing. So he has monthly meetings to get their sales group, their advisors meet together. So he said, do you think you can pull something together from your point of view? And I said, sure, Jeff. So I went down there and I walked into this group, and there's, you know, a handful of them, and they didn't know what to make of me because I was in my full, I was not a muffy, I was in the full black thing. And first thing I said was, hi, straight here to Jeff, but I mean, the first thing I want you to know is I'm not going to convert you. And then I went off for a little bit, and I asked him, now, what was the first thing I said to you? And he talked a little bit. And, oh, you said you weren't going to convert us. Now, why did I say that to you? And what I said to them was, you know, you, the financial advisors, are more of a priest than you think you are. And I don't care if you're Muslim or Jew or Greek or whatever you are. You're more of a priest than you think you are, because no one looks at me in my black suit and thinks neutrally about me. No one. Everyone comes. I'm afraid of you. You make me go. I hate you. Because of what happened to me before. With someone like you. I'm hopeful. You represent something hope. You will accept me no matter what. You know, people do not come and see the guy or the woman in black with a neutral point of view. So I said, the same is true with you as a financial advisor. Money is the transfer of all sorts of parts of our identity. Our security, our fear, our control, our sense of honor and dignity and worth is all wrapped up in what we do with our money. And what we, how we use it, what we have of it, what our self-worth is because of it. You know, it's just so much. And so Freud called it the last taboo, because we never talk about it. We don't want it. It has that kind of, it can have that kind of power to define us. Well, they were kind of blown away by this notion that they were priests. And it really made a difference for a lot of them. They really started to really think about how they present themselves and who they are and what other people are projecting upon them. So I'm invited back to go to other Maryland talks. No, I'm just serious. I don't think, you know, in motivational speaking for the financial industry is exactly my forte. But it was really sort of fun, a little different for me. There's that wonderful line in the psalm we read today, forgive us for presumptuous sins. You know, I haven't thought about that a lot, or maybe just passed it over. But presumptuous sins, pre-assuming, I guess is what the word means. And so we have these ways in which we pre-assume what the reality is going to be. Now, most of the time we do that, we alienate the opportunity for healing and wholeness in our lives. Because we have assumed that this name we have, this memory we maintain, this sense of ourselves or the sense of somebody else, it's just the way it is. And now, I don't think God wants any business with that. I don't think God's going to put up with that with us at all. Why see life with one eye? And we have two. We have vision. Why walk limping? Even emotionally. Why put up with an attenuated, short trip part of you about what life can mean for us? Just because that's what our history was. You know, the life in Christ offers a kind of freedom to start over, to start again, to let go, to allow the Spirit of God to renew our minds and get rid of our histories. We are fresh every morning. You know, that is the nature of our faith. It's just brilliant. With the sun through eastern windows, we can wake up and go, hey, I didn't have to be that. There was a moment in Kilimanjaro when I was hiking up and I couldn't take another step. I literally couldn't walk further. And I was doubled over, and the breath was out of me until that thought, there was a package, a backpack of crap in my head about how I thought about my life up until that point. Now, this might be a little too much information, but on Kilimanjaro, when you're hiking for 6 or 7 hours, there are no facilities for privacy anywhere on the mountain. So whenever there's a shrub or a bush on the trail, you go head over to that about 50 feet off, slightly out of view of everyone else, and you see this nice sort of semi-circle of evidence that people did. So I went off to the sign, and I just looked at this beautiful circle made, and I said, well, all the stuff, I'm just going to leave this behind. And I got back on the trail and could breathe again. Don't ever let your life be controlled. And if it takes a cop car to be in the front door of your heart, if it takes mountains of 19,000 feet, but maybe it just takes waking up in the morning and saying, Christ can make me new today. And I don't need this to be made anymore. Christ can make me new today, and the way I thought about that person that I'm having trouble with doesn't have to be that way. I wake up this morning and I can say, you know, I keep saying I can't do that. Maybe I can. I wake up every morning thinking, maybe I don't have to put up with that situation the way I've been putting up with it. Maybe I can find a courage and a place and a part of my life that's new and strong and beautiful and holy and excellent and admirable and fabulous. You, we have that power because it has been given to us because of this guy, Jesus of Nazareth, who showed us the way. Why not allow all of ourselves to be converted to? To have the power from it, the beauty from it, the grace from it. I don't want to be the same guy I was yesterday. I mean, I was okay yesterday. I get a new chance today.